Welcome to episode 1269 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. This week, we continue our series, 1010 with Jesus, A Deeper Look, with our chapter on what we can learn about Jesus from exploring his parables. Have you ever completed a difficult task at work, at home, or in ministry, and expected to be noticed, thanked, or applauded, only to feel overlooked or underappreciated? It's natural to want recognition. We live in a culture of affirmation, where appreciation is a kind of social currency. But in a short, surprising parable, in Luke 17 about a master and a servant, Jesus gives his disciples a radical reorientation. True discipleship doesn't demand recognition, it embraces obedience. This parable is a call to humility, duty, and identity. Not in a way that diminishes worth, but in a way that aligns us with the very heart and nature of Jesus himself. Jesus shares this parable in the middle of a teaching moment with his disciples. Earlier in Luke 17, he warns about sin, forgiveness, and the weight of being a stumbling block. The disciples, feeling the weight of such teachings, cry out in verse 5,
"Jesus, that is too much for us. Increase our faith."
Jesus responds not by giving them a miracle or an easy answer, but by teaching them about mustard seed faith, and then immediately follows with this parable about a servant doing their duty without seeking special treatment. Why is this? Because Jesus is reminding them, and us, that the Christian life is not about status or applause. It's about faithful service flowing from love.
Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, "Come along now and sit down to eat"?
Jesus paints a picture familiar to his audience. A servant working in the field, either plowing or shepherding. Two of the most exhausting jobs in the agrarian world. After hours of manual labor, the servant comes back to the house. Now here's the twist. Instead of the master saying, "You've worked so hard, come and rest," the master says,
"Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink."
And then Jesus asks,
"Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do?"
The answer, no. In this cultural setting, servants were expected to fulfill all duties without expectation of thanks. It wasn't harshness. It was a structure understood by all. But Jesus uses it to expose something deeper. Jesus ends the parable with this striking conclusion.
"So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'"
The phrase "unworthy servants" can also be translated "unprofitable" or "not deserving of reward." This is not about devaluing the disciple, but about rightly orienting the heart. The message is clear. The reward of the servant is not praise, but the honor of serving. Let's get deep. This parable may seem counterintuitive in our modern culture, but it reveals essential truths about Jesus and the life he calls us to. What does the parable reveal about the character of Jesus? It shows him as the true servant king. It's important to recognize that Jesus is not simply commanding humility. He embodies it.
"For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Jesus is the master telling this story, but he is also the servant who lived it. He didn't just do his duty, he went beyond it, washing his disciples' feet, eating with sinners, and submitting to death on a cross. In Jesus, the king becomes a servant. And in doing so, he flips every earthly model of leadership and power. What does the parable reveal about the purpose of Jesus? He seeks to reshape our identity. This parable is not a condemnation, but a correction. Jesus is teaching his followers that true greatness comes not from being celebrated, but from being faithful. The phrase, "We are unworthy servants," is not self-hatred. It is self-forgetfulness. It's the same attitude Paul expresses in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1.
"This, then, is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ, and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed.
Jesus is reframing our sense of identity. We are not volunteers looking for validation. We are not employees negotiating contracts. We are not children throwing tantrums when we feel unseen. We are servants of the Most High God, called, loved, and sent. And that is more than enough. What does it reveal about the ministry of Jesus? He is training disciples in kingdom humility. In the upside-down kingdom of God, the last are first, and the servants are the greatest. Jesus is preparing his disciples for lives of costly obedience, not popularity. He knows that ministry can be thankless. People may not applaud, some may criticize, others will take and never say thanks. But he's saying,
don't let that stop you. Your reward is not earthly recognition, but eternal delight in the Father.
This parable cultivates grit and grace in the heart of every believer who keeps serving when no one else notices. Let's explore some practical takeaways for our spiritual journey. First, faithfulness is the goal, not fame. We live in a world obsessed with platforms, followers, and influence. Even in ministry, the temptation is real. What's my impact? Am I being noticed? Jesus calls us to measure success by faithfulness, not fanfare. Your quiet prayers, unseen service, and unnoticed sacrifices matter. Even if no one claps, heaven sees. Second, obedience is its own reward. The servant in the parable doesn't finish the day with a trophy. His reward is completing his task. This echoes Paul's words in 2 Timothy 4:7.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
The reward is not applause. It's knowing you were faithful to the one who called you. Third, the heart of a servant is free from entitlement. Entitlement poisons the soul. It whispers, I deserve more. I've earned this. Where's my reward? But the posture of a servant says, Lord, I'm yours. Everything I have is grace. Everything I do is for you. This doesn't mean we suppress pain or ignore injustice. It means our motivation shifts from recognition to devotion. Fourth, we serve out of love, not obligation. While the parable highlights duty, the New Testament makes clear that Christian service is fueled by love.
For Christ's love compels us.
The servant in the parable may serve out of obligation, but we serve because we've been loved beyond measure. We serve because our Savior first served us. Fifth, grace doesn't eliminate duty. It transforms it. Sometimes, in emphasizing grace, we forget that Jesus still calls us to obedience. Grace isn't a pass to coast, it's fuel to persevere. We don't serve to earn God's favor. We serve because we already have it. In a large church in the Midwest, the senior pastor once shared a story about their janitor, a quiet, elderly man named Carl. Carl never asked to be on stage, never missed a day, and never left without making sure every room was clean and every light was off. One day, someone asked Carl why he kept working so diligently. Carl replied, because I know Jesus walks these halls too. I just want them clean for him. That's the heart of a true servant. Not looking for applause, just longing to honor the master. Ask yourself, do I find myself secretly longing for recognition in my acts of service? When was the last time I served without any thought of reward or thanks? How does my understanding of being God's servant shape my daily decisions? Am I measuring my spiritual growth by faithfulness or by outcomes? What area of my life needs a fresh infusion of joyful obedience? The paradox of this parable is that in declaring ourselves unworthy servants, we discover the deepest worth of all, that we belong to the King and we get to serve Him. And one day, the same Master who needs no obligation to thank us will look us in the eye and say,
well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Master.
Let that be enough. Let that be everything. Father, we come to you not as people with demands, but as your grateful servants. Teach us the humility of Christ, who served even unto death. May we serve you not for recognition, but from devotion. Strengthen our hearts when we feel unseen, and remind us that you are the God who sees. Let us finish each day not with entitlement, but with joy, saying, we have only done what you called us to do. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full, today.